together. Come on.
While I pray, no matter.
You can't be breaking down and falling out. You're going to break out your prayer. Break out your word. You're going to break out some praise. Last time, when somebody clap your hands, it's a wrap.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord, everybody. Good morning to our international partners this morning, our partners all over the United States of America. How many of you is sick and tired of Satan and his diabolical imps plotting on you? The song said this morning, this means war. You're tired of everything. You're just so tired that you're pulling out that word of God and you speaking it into whatever your circumstance, whatever your situation is. So this morning, we are commanding Satan and his imp to get out of our way. He cannot have our family. He cannot have our breakthrough. He can't have anything. I'm declaring and decreeing right now for myself this morning, Satan, you cannot have my voice. Satan, you cannot have the breath that God has in my lungs this morning. I decree and declare that I will not have an asthma attack on this morning because this means war. What are you declaring and decreeing in this morning? What are you sick and tired of? The remedy was already in the song. If you were listening to the song, the songwriter was telling you, you need to pray, you need to pray, and I'm adding to it, you need to decree and declare what will and will not happen in your life. So again, I say to you, good morning. We are so grateful and thankful that you are here with us this morning. We know that the Holy Spirit is in the midst. One thing about God, he's a God that it doesn't matter what time we are coming to him, he is going to show up and show out if you believe him and if you receive him. He is here, right now in the atmosphere. And Father, we just want to tell you this morning how much we love you, how much we thank you, and we definitely adore you. And I just want to sit and say to each and every person, I pray that you had a beautiful weekend. I pray that you was in the spirit with the Lord all throughout the weekend. I pray this week that you allow God to lead you and guide you. We want to be in a place where we constantly, not sometimes, but all the time, allowing God to be our guide, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and keep us moving. So again, I say good morning as we get ready to go into prayer and just thanking God for who he is. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Abba. We come to you, Lord, just thanking you, Father, for a new day, a new dawning, Father God, a new beginning, Lord Jesus. Whatever happened yesterday, Father God, was yesterday, Lord. We come this morning just thanking you, Lord. Thanking you for life, Father God, because we did not have to be here, Father. And there are some that did not make it this morning, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that we were among the chosen, Father God, to be here and walk the earth again, Father God. To be here, Father God, to get what we didn't get yesterday, Father God. To be here, Father God, to set things to the side, Father God, that's not of you, Father God. To be here, Father God, just because of your mercy and grace, Father God. To be here, Father God, in the number, Lord, so we can make a difference, Lord Jesus, in your kingdom, Father God. And we just thank you, Lord. We adore you, Father. We magnify your holy name, Lord, because you are so worthy, Father God. You are our provider, Father God. You are just what we need, Father God. And, Lord, if anyone is fooled that they can get to one place to the next without you, Father God, then that is just what it is, being a fool, Lord Jesus. Because without you, we are nothing. We thank you for being being ours, the truth and the light, Father God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that continues to lead us and guide us, Father God, through this perilous time, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for the safety places that you have given us, Father God. And we know that we have to be safe, Father God, because we're still here, we're still walking. We still have roofs over our heads, Father God. We still have food, Father God. We still have clothing, Father God. And most of all, we still have breath, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your unfailing love, Lord Jesus. The love that you continuously give us, Father God, no matter what, Father God. No matter if we are a sinner, Lord Jesus, you still love us, Father God. You still love us, Lord, in our mess, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for that undying, unfailing love, Lord Jesus. And Father, we don't want to forget to tell you, thank you, Lord, for your just letting you know that we are grateful, Father God. Even for the little things, Lord, the things that we may not even see and notice, Lord Jesus. We're thankful, Father God, and we're thankful for the big things as well, Lord. We're thankful for success. We're thankful for being for prosperity, Father God. We're thankful for everything that you do, Lord Jesus. And we just magnify and we glorify your name, Lord. And Father, we pray for the sick and shut in. We pray for all of those that are in the hospital room right now. Lord, we ask for a speedy recovery, Father God. And Lord, as we just come on today, we ask you, your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, to take the wheel, Father God, and allow us to decrease, Father God. Let us know, Lord, it's nothing about us, but everything about you, Lord Jesus. As the word, the bread of life comes forth, Father God, and the water, Father God, that comes forward as well, Lord Jesus, that no one will go hungry and no one will continue to thirst. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. So again, I say good morning. I need each and every one of you to command your atmosphere right now. Command whatever it is that you need to do today. You, Satan, does not control you. You control the situation. And even if something comes your way because you're not vigilant, you're not paying attention enough, just know that you still have the opportunity throughout the day. There is no set time that you have to command your atmosphere. You have the ability because you have a mouth and you can speak. You have a mindset where you can think, where you can quickly, at any moment, command your atmosphere to what you want it to be. And what you do not want is to command yourself into a negative situation. You always want positivity. No thinking, only think positivity. And I promise you, as you constantly do this over and over, you may not see something immediately, but it will soon come to pass. Okay, as we are today, where we're speaking on today, we know that God is a man that he shall not lie. And we know that if he said something, he's going to do it. He fails not to do it. He's going to do it. He's not a God of exaggeration. He's a God of spirit and truth. That's how we are to be. We are to be exactly how he is. And we're coming from today, from Matthew 5:33-37, talking about vows. I'm going to let Minister-elect Monica start us off with that, and we'll go back and forth with how that is to talk about the things that we do. Whatever you say, you should mean what you say. Whatever, no exaggeration. You be straight, direct, and to the point. That's one thing I love about my apostle and my first lady. It's direct. Get to the point, say what you have to say, and be done with it. It's nothing extra going in that. So today, this is where we're going to go. Because as us being disciples, ministers, people that's working in the kingdom, we cannot sit and confuse people in what's being said. When you're out there giving the word, when you're breaking the bread, you need to be direct, not go over, not go under. So Monica, if you're ready and you're in, go ahead. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, saints of God. Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, I have to give you a little background on how we got to this word today, because if you were on last week, you'll remember that God had us in a word of speaking about him needing imperfect people. And back on that day when we were talking about him needing imperfect people, we talked about God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. So with that being said, when he spoke to us, he moved me into knowing that we should also speak on why he calls imperfect people. And that was when we went into the word talking about being called and going in on assignment. Well, on today, that pours over into us talking about making your yes mean yes and your no mean no, whether you're vowing to God to answer that call or if you're even having the integrity to move into a conversation with a man or a woman and having the ability to make your yes mean yes and your no mean no. So reading the word, like my sister said, was Matthew 5 and 33 through 37. And it says, you have also heard that our and told you must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord. But I say, do not make any vows. Do not say by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. And do not say by earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. Now, people, that is a very important statement at the end of that, because what the scripture is saying is if you say anything beyond that, you're just talking nonsense. You're talking things that are not of God, because God only requires us to say yes to him or no. And, you know, the scriptures always told us, he says, do not be lukewarm, for I will spit you out of my mouth. You either be hot or cold. That's the same concept God is saying. He wants us to mean what we say and say what we mean. So as we use our words and you command your morning, you also have to realize the power of those words. The power of the words that you're speaking are very important, but you don't just throw words out there and throw oaths out there and throw sayings out there to embellish what you have to say, when you can just simply say, yes, Lord, or no, Lord, or yes, sir, or no, ma'am, or whatever it is that you have to say, because taking all these colorful sayings and colloquialisms is not necessary. Because, see, one is actually double talk, and a lot of times people end up speaking in a double mind. They end up saying something, and it then ends up being twisted and turned because they start adding more explanations and things behind it, when you can just simply say, yes, Lord, I will answer the call, or yes, Lord, I'm going to be obedient, or yes, Lord, I can, yes, Lord, I will, but not, by the throne in heaven, or by earth I will, or all these sayings and oaths and you hear people talk about on God, Lord have mercy. I pray that y'all don't use that term, because it is a form of blasphemy. It is using the words to God in vain. And I just want you to understand how powerful our words are, because the power of life and death is in tongue. Sister, bring it on in, because I know you know what I'm talking about when people use those words so loosely.
I do know, but I want to just go back a little bit. One reason that this scripture came into play is because in the Old Testament, you know, people in the Old Testament, everything was done basically by a vow. And what happened was people started using the words, as Monica says, loosely. They wasn't They downplayed. Let me put it in that sense. They downplayed the word, and we know anything and everything with God is sacred. We know that he is the Most High. So therefore, anything that when we're using his word, I swear on God, I take a vow, or I take a promise, or I make a promise, then it's supposed to go forth. Because this is the way when we're making vows and we're making promises, when God made vows and promises to us, he keeps his promise. And we should have that exact same mindset. That when we are vowing or we are promising something, this is how we develop a relationship with different people. So if I'm calling Monica and I'm sitting and saying that I promise you that I'm going to come to North Carolina to help you do this, that, and the other, my word is my bond. My word, what I'm saying, I should continue it and make sure that I follow it through. And because that's how God is. God comes to us, and whatever promises that he has made to us, those promises are going to come through. They may not come when we want them, but when we get to the place where he can trust us and we have to trust him, then those promises can come through. But to just sit there and vainly, like she said, use God's name in vain or loosely say that you're going to do this and you're going to do that, and you know that you have no intentions on doing it, then your word means absolutely nothing. And this scripture is basically saying that you need to build a trusting relationship and not say things that's not. Like she said, anything, the word says anything other than yes or no. It's from the evil one. And as I began to say, I was saying with my leaders, if there's a situation or whatever, it's like get to the facts and then let's go back. I need to know what the facts are. I need to know this, and then we can go backwards. But let me know exactly what's what. And that's how it is. That's what in our praying to God, that's exactly how we need to be. And I'm answering the call to God, that's how it needs to be. It's not, yes, Lord, I would do it, but it's either you're going to do it or no, you're not going to do it. It's just that simple. Because when you start adding words, as Monica said, then you're taking away from whatever it is. You're taking away from whatever the situation is at that point. And that exaggeration start coming in and little untruth start to creep in. The more you start to tell the story, that mind, Satan start messing with that mind, and then you start adding stuff and taking away from the truth. Back over to you, Monica.
Yeah, it's just basically God saying to us when we came over this word that he wanted us to not embellish what needed to be said. Even when we are just talking to him, we have to be transparent. We don't have to go into all of this fancy lace talking when we pray to God and we just give him all these big words and try to embellish what we want to say. God says, just say it. That's what he said to me. He said, tell him to just say it, Monica. Just speak with from their heart. You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't take all this fancy religious lace to embellish what you want to say. Whether you're talking to God or if you're witnessing to somebody or if you're just in the street having a conversation or even in the business world, you don't have to embellish your words if you make your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Now, that's two things that's going to come out of you having this mindset and attitude. One, you're going to be transparent, but two, you're going to set a standard. And that standard is what God is going to look for, because he sees your heart. And he knows your motive. You can't lie to God. You're only lying to yourself. But he also wants to know that you will be a woman or a man of your word. And as you begin to establish this relationship with God and you begin to make your yes mean yes and your no mean no, that means that God can actually look for you to do things when he calls those people out that he sends out on assignments. Whether it's something small, like my sister said, like helping someone walk across the street or being an intercessor and just praying from your heart. But also, when we interact with others, we have a tendency to not be a woman or man of our word, because we give promises we can't keep. We say things and then we go back later on and say, well, I didn't mean that, or I didn't mean it like that. And that's where you become a double-minded person. And a double-minded person has no place in God's kingdom. He has no place in God's kingdom, because that person is the type of person. You know, in the scripture it says, if a man's plowing the field and he looks back on it, he's not fit for the kingdom. Because you're not supposed to go back and forth on anything. Whatever you do, you do it moving straight forward, and be transparent with that thing. And when we talk to people and we're double-minded and we're saying one thing and then the next thing you know, well, I didn't mean it like that, but that's what you said. And then you say, well, what did you mean then? And I don't know what I meant. We can't do that, people. We have to give a clear understanding when we communicate to others, whether it's to God or man, that we are saying what we mean. And that's where you have to be careful with your words. Your words have power. Your words are your bond. Because, see, you can curse someone or you can bless someone with your words. And you can curse yourself or you can bless yourself with your words. So when my sister teaches about commanding your morning and speaking things as though they were, I'm thankful that she's giving you these tools, but you gotta know the responsibility that comes with these words that you speak and the power of them. And when you have that mindset of being double-minded, it is useless. You're useless to you and anybody else that you witness to. Sir, I know you can tell people about how people have been double-minded and don't have the consistency and end up falling to the wayside in their walk with God. Tell them about it.
Well, Proverbs 10:9 says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. So I can honestly sit and say and talk to you about this. Transparency is the key, but you have to be completely transparent. You can't today sit and be transparent today and then tomorrow not. And then in your transparency, you have to be honest. You have to be truthful about it, you know. And if you don't, one thing about God, the scripture just said it. You know, I just read the scripture. God knows everything. And when we walk in crooked, when we walk in double-minded and we don't have integrity, the scripture say you will be found out. And being found out is a horrible thing, Saints. I can witness to that for you. It's a horrible thing when you sit and you're double-minded and you're doing crooked things, but yet you still in the church praising God, you still reading your Bible, you still doing everything that you're supposed to do, but you're not being honest about it, because you're not being transparent about it, because you have not confessed what you're doing, how you're doing, but yet you speaking words out into the atmosphere, words that's falling on deaf ears. Because they're going nowhere, because you have not put yourself in a place where you are, where you're in on a straight and narrow path. And we know that it's not easy, but we can do it. And once you do it, the words, when you're up commanding your atmosphere, when you're decreeing and you're declaring things or whatnot, you get so much power, so much energy, and you know that your words are going forth, because you're able to sit and see the transformation in yourself, or see the transformation in the things that you're speaking on. You're able to see those things. But and then you change. That double-mindedness turns into a making conscious decisions. The double-minded, the untruth, the dishonesty, it takes you to a place where you make conscious decisions. You think about the things that you're saying before you just let them slip out of your mouth, because that's what a lot of us do. That's what a lot of us do. We sit and just whatever is on our mind, that's where that thinking. If you went to bed with mess on your mind, you're going to wake up the next morning with mess on your mind, because you know what? You have not let it go. You still continuing with the same old mess, the same old situation. You harboring ill feelings. You're harboring
thinking, instead of putting yourself in a place, because, see, the heart speaks to the mind. Whatever is in the heart is going to go up to the mind, and that's what the mind is going to, that's what you're going to speak out of your mouth. But if you're in a place where you have decided, you've made a conscious decision that I'm no longer going to think this way, it doesn't matter what this person did or said. It doesn't matter what took place on yesterday. I'm going to start commanding my atmosphere because I want love. I want peace. I want joy. I want happiness. I want, when someone comes to ask me a question, I can say yes or no. And when they're standing there looking for an explanation, or someone comes and be like, is that all? I can sit and say, well, is it my word enough? Is it what I just said enough? Based off of my actions, based off of the actions that I have, what I have transformed into. So when I'm having these conversations, you don't have to sit and be like, okay, well, you said yes, but, or and. No, based off of the relationship that has been built, based on trust, on honesty, on single-mindedness, knowing that this person made conscious decisions before they do this and before they do that. So the words that come out of their mouth is going to be power. It has nothing death related in it, unless you have to talk about a situation that was a bad situation. But other than that, whatever, however you set yourself up, however you choose to live, however you choose to present yourself to society, then that's how people are going to look at you. Back over to you, Monica.
God really, really moved me into a position of examining how we talk today. And I ask God, well, you know, help me understand what is not of you when you say make your yes mean yes and make your no mean no. And God came back with, I just need people to stop being hypocrites. I just need people to say what they gonna do and be a woman and man of their word. But not only that, that they got to recognize that is foolery when they start taking oaths. He said, we ain't got to swear by anything, because when we actually say what we're going to say, that is good enough. Yes and no is enough. And all that extra talking is a sign of someone being, one, hypocritical, or two, they're actually being phony and they're presenting themselves to be somebody that they're not, because it doesn't take all of that. And then that's where we have those attitudes of people having all of these eloquent words and having something to say, but they speaking loud and fast and they ain't saying nothing. That sounds like the politicians of today. That sounds like the Sadducees and Pharisees of Jesus' day. And Jesus said that they were doing acts of foolery, because when they were talking to people, nobody could trust what they were saying. And that's where we have to have that same kind of integrity, that we would say our yes and yes and no's. And then when we witness to somebody or we minister to somebody, that our promises aren't empty. That what we're attesting to when we witness to somebody, when we go out on those assignments, we'll know what we're talking about, because we're speaking from our heart, from our very own experiences. But then as in the relationships in our lives, we have business relationships, we have marital relationships, we have relationships and bonds with family members, with our children, with our parents. And when people begin to depend on you, they want your yes to mean yes. And if you say you're not going to do it, have the backbone to say, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to say this. I'm not going to say that, because I can't promise you I can fulfill that promise. And see, I love the way my sister used to explain to me how somebody would ask her to join in some kind of conversation, and people would be gossiping or whatever, carrying on or telling her a rumor or something. And she says, oh, I'm sorry, I got to stop you right now. I can't have part in that. No, I'm not going to listen to anything else you have to say if you continue on this conversation. And I'm going to change the narrative.
Exactly.
And we're going to speak something else into this situation. We're not going to speak any untruth. And if you don't know what you're talking about, just leave it alone. See, that's being able to say what you mean and mean what you say. And sometimes it's abrasive. But see, we have to stand up for things. We have to stand up for truth and honesty. And then we also have to not be a coward when people come with that mess, when people say things and you can't agree with everybody you speak with. So that's where your no's have to mean no. Because if you say, I'm not going to do it, then don't do it. Walk away. Just to tell them about it. Tell them about making your no's mean no.
Well, first of all, it's something that you have to learn. I trust and believe, saints. I've been through a lot, and I had to put myself in a situation with that and go up under leadership that taught me that way. It wasn't. It's not something that we all do. It's a learning process. It's once you get to that situation again, as I always talk about, it's making a conscious decision. 1 Peter 3:16 say, having a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. See, I had to learn that scripture. I had to start eating that scripture because me being in places around people, places and things and sitting there and putting things in my ear or allowing it, it's something that I learned within last year. I can say I've been in that situation now, and to the place if people call me and sit and say something, I'm going to stop them, because one thing about it is that you hate to be lied on, and then second, you hate the slander that comes with you, because see, those thinking words, they hurt people. No matter how you may sit and think that a person is strong or how they're built, we're human. We are human beings. So we are going to feel things. We are emotional creatures. So we are going to feel things. But when you sick and tired of hearing your name or being placed or lied upon or whatever, my whole life changed for 38 months because of a lie. But the thing of it is that it was a lie, but it's where was I positioned? Who was I communicating with? Who was I dealing with? And see, that's what I need you all to know. I'm going to veer off a little bit. Whoever you associate yourself, if you're constantly in a situation where you're associating yourself to these types of situations, then you're just as guilty, you know. And then you have the tendency to hear it, and then you go back and you exit your ex-turn until you said it, you know. So at the end of the day, it's about making a conscious decision, and I have learned, and people may get offended by me, but if you call me, I am going to ask you, is there something that I can pray with you about instead of you sitting in and telling me all of these different things, because sometimes I don't have the answer, but for most of all, I don't want to be a part of the situation or whatever, because I don't need it. I don't need another burden on my back. I'm a person that's taking things off of me as I go. I'm a person that has learned to do things in truth and be honest about things and have integrity, because at one point in time, my integrity was down to the ground. But once I realized everything that had been went through my life and God was willing to make a change, or I was willing to allow God to make a change, He started building my integrity. So once I realized that my integrity was being built, I got to a place, as the songwriter was saying this morning, you can't have my integrity, because integrity means everything to your employer. Integrity means everything to your apostle. Integrity means everything. Even when you go into the doctor's office, your integrity, the doctor is waiting for you to give them truthful answers. Are you taking your medicine as you're supposed to? You sit and say yes, but then your blood pressure sky high, or you know, or whatever your circumstances is. That yes and that no goes everywhere. It is a part of your life. It is a part of who you are. It is a part of what God has wonderfully made you to be. Not for you to sit and take, you know, things and distort it or stretch it or add to it. It's what it is. It is what it is. No more and no less. And I promise you, it takes you a long way. When you caught up in the mess, you are in the mess. No matter how you want to sit and look at it, because we all are mature adults and we should be able to sit and say, oh, how the church people used to do, the Baptist people do it all the time. They put their finger up and they move out of the way. Because like Monica said, you never want to be double-minded. Your integrity, I'm saying it, integrity means everything. That trust, that relation, that trust that you have within you, what you have built, should outshine everything else. I should be able to give this to this person, and this person is going to do this. This person is going to run with it. They're going to give their everything with it. Back over to you, Monica.
Yes, y'all, I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but the Lord is still saying that we have to get this understanding about when we make a conscious decision to answer a question or to give somebody a promise, that yes or that no is that fork in the road where you're going to agree or disagree to go into whatever action you need to follow through with. But see, a lot of times people will actually say, yes, I'm going to do this, or no, I'm not going to do that, and the actions don't line up with what they say. So if you're saying, well, God, I'm not going to commit this sin anymore. I'm done. I give up. I'm not going to walk that way again. And then there you are back at that same sin. It's knocking at your door and you let it in. Well, you know, we can always ask for forgiveness and we repent because we know that we've fallen. But at the end of the day, we still have to have that desire to get back up and try again to not open that door to that sin. That's one aspect of it. But then when we say we don't agree with something and we're not going to do this or we're going to do that, and today you don't remember or you don't even keep it because it, as soon as it flew out your mouth, it flew out of your mind. And see, when we have these kinds of short attention spans and we don't have the ability to follow up with our yeses or our noes, whether we agree with someone or disagree with someone. See, that's even worse because I remember as a child, if I told my son to, son, clean your room or you're not going outside, and I check his room and his room wasn't done. Well, if I said you're not going outside and he goes out the door and I shake my head and say, oh, let him go, I'm double-minded. I did not teach him anything in that because I was supposed to call him back in and say, well, son, you didn't clean your room, so the condition of you not cleaning your room put you in a state of not going outside. So my no had to be no, and I had to bring that boy back in the house and say, okay, because you did not clean your room, and I told you if you didn't, you wouldn't go outside, come back in my house. Come back in and have a seat, sir. Find you something to do within the house. And that's what standing up for what you say. And if you tell somebody that you're not this or you're not that, if you're done with a situation or if you're going to not do something again or if you're not going to be a part of something, mean it. Don't let that no fall to the ground because then nobody believes what you say. It's just like the little boy who cried wolf. He kept crying wolf and then the villagers stopped coming because they didn't believe him. When the wolf really came, nobody believed him. So what kind of witness can you be if your yes don't mean yes and your no don't mean no? Because every time you come around and talk, people think you're talking about foolery. They don't believe that you are a person of your word. So when you witness to them and God really did move and Christ delivered you from something and you have to share that word, they can't even believe it. They won't even acknowledge it because you haven't been truthful in the past because the things that you say don't add up. So when you really have a word or a message for somebody here, they won't hear you. And it goes back to when you tell God things and you don't line up with what you say. When your actions don't line up with what you say, then God can't take you for your word. And then when he sends you out on these assignments or he puts something in your heart to do, you're not obedient. You're disobedient. You're not even obedient to a small thing like praying for somebody. Oh, I forgot. So this is where we're having a wake-up call. Wake up, people. God is saying we got to be a people of our word. We have to remember because, see, that's what happened to the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. The Israelites came under Moses' leadership, and God told them that he would be their God if they be his people. And he made a covenant with them.
And in that covenant, he wanted them to answer yes or no to this, y'all. Yes or no. What are you going to do? Are you going to allow me to be your Lord and carry you on the wings of an eagle over your circumstances into battles, into the milk and the land of milk and honey? Or are you going to leave your mindset and be enslaved in Egypt? The choice is yours. But whatever you do, don't be double-minded about it. And guess what happened? They were so double-minded that they had to wander in the wilderness for many, many years because an 11-day journey ended up being 40 years. All I'm saying is, if we can make that conscious decision, people, to not be like the Israelites and be double-minded, that when we say we're going to follow God, we're going to follow God unto death. So that's where this word was coming from. It was coming from knowing that the mistakes that the Israelites made when they came out of Egypt and they were supposed to cross the Red Sea, and when they got across that Red Sea, they weren't satisfied. They began to murmur. They began to complain. And when they made the covenant and said that they was going to obey God, they really didn't follow through. And there was punishment with that. There was punishment with that. Those people didn't see the promised land. They wandered in the wilderness, and that's where our consequences catch up with us. So that's what God is saying, and I pray that each and every one that's within the sound of our voices can let God minister to you on this level, because this is a chance for us to straighten our crooked paths, to take our tongues and bridle our tongues from actually engaging in things that is not of God, because what the scripture said in Matthew 5 and 37, he said, "Yes, make your yes mean yes and your no mean no. And anything else beyond that is of the evil one." And see, that in itself says, if you're not going to do it, don't even tell nobody you're going to do it. Don't even offer me a lie. And see, a lot of people ask people for lies, because they ask them to do things that they can't possibly do, possess. And that's setting yourself up for disappointment. But see, you don't have to step over into that realm, because, see, God gave us the ability to have wisdom. And in that wisdom, as Christians, we have to seek God in counsel. But when we seek God in counsel, he'll let us know. He'll let us know what we should and shouldn't entertain. He'll give us a helping hand in making those wise, godly decisions on what we can and can't do, or what we should and shouldn't do. When you're sitting and tottering on the fence and you know good and well you're not really at the point where you can make a sound decision, seek God. Seek God. So when you say yes, God helps you make the decision to say yes, and you can lean and trust that God's going to give you the ability to follow through. Because remember, when we spoke about him giving you assignments and calling you, he said he don't send the equipped. He equips the ones he sent. He don't call the equipped. He equips the one he calls. And when we are actually asking him to, you know, when we seek him and ask for his guidance and ask for his understanding and the wisdom to make decisions in our lives to do something or not to do something, and he gives us a knowing, and you don't have to get it in an audible voice, but if God put it in your spirit to do something or not do something, pray and also know and have faith that he'll give you the strength, the ability to do it, whether you're weaker or stronger in that thing. That's what it's about. It's about us standing up right before God, standing upright before God and not hunched over and speaking like a politician or having that fast talk like a scammer or a telemarketer. You know how those people call you on the phone and they be fast talking you and you don't have any clue why they even called your phone? It's not important, because if it was, you would know who they were before they called and you would see who they are on the call ID. But see, everything isn't for you. So therefore, we have to actually seek God's counsel in a lot of things we do. And when we seek it and we get an understanding of what we should say yes and no to, firm on that thing. Be of sound mind, not double-minded. And with that, I say I love you, and I'm going to turn it back over to my sister. But just take this and meditate on what you are
saying yes to and what you're saying no to. And if you're not ready to say yes or no, ask God to help you decide which one to say and then stand on that thing. But at the end of the day, you can't go back and forth. You can't be wishy-washy because, see, no one will trust you and they won't want to deal with you because when it's time for you to have conversations, your words mean nothing. But they have power and they could be cursing you instead of blessing you. Back over to you, sister.
Amen. That's absolutely right. But I also want to say the righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. So if you're walking in righteousness and integrity, then you are blessed after God. So that's one thing that you want to keep in your mind, that your actions, your way of thinking, the things that you do, the things that you say, you want to do it in a rightful position. And we, as I stated, it's nothing that's going to happen overnight. It's a work. We all are work in progress. We all have certain situations. It's about identifying different things and understanding what is being said and how you're receiving it and who you're, and then when you're conversating with someone, how they're perceiving you. You know, and one thing that I did have to learn too is that anything that I do, I remember talking to my employer and I was letting her know that the things that I do it unto God. But I had to learn to do that because I was one of those people that when I was in the law enforcement was wondering, okay, if you know, with my boss, am I doing this right? If I'm doing this right, if I'm doing this right. And even when I went into a whole different new field, I went, God had to equip me into that area. But I didn't have a problem with seeking him first, seeking his counselor and counseling, and then going to my employer and saying, listen, I need help in this area. I need this because I want to get it right, because my work that I do is not for my employer, and not anything that you do is not for man, but it's for God. So when you get into that place where that double-mindedness and all of that come out of the picture, you in an upright position. So anything that you give to God, you want to give it to him with excellency, because he is a God of excellency. He's majestic. So you want to take whatever it is that you have and you give it unto God. So you have to be in a rightful position. You have to be in a position where your integrity is intact. You have to be in a position where truth, everything that you're doing is in truth and spirit, because that's who God is. And that's where we want you all to be on today. Because trust and believe, we're not sitting here idle in this pandemic for no reason. God is the God with the master plan. As the prophecy went out before this situation took place in the beginning of January, we know that God is getting ready to do something so big and magnificent that we are not going to be able to contain it ourselves. But we should be in a place right now where we're getting ourselves together. We're taking off scales. We're taking off extra baggage of if you a liar, you throwing that off. If you a cheater, you throwing that off. If you a gossiper, you throwing that off. Because when you stand before God, or when things open back up, you're telling him, yes, I'm ready for the call, because I've identified myself. I've looked in the mirror. I've identified myself, and now I'm ready to go. And Father, I just want to continue to build my relationship with you. I want you to trust me. See, if God can trust you, then man can trust you. If God, I'm going to say that again. If God can trust you, then man can trust you. Even when we go back to Joseph, Joseph had to build a relationship with God. He had to build a relationship. He had to show God that I have integrity, that you can trust me. And if man don't trust me, you can trust me. And once God started trusting Joseph, what happened? Joseph became the ruler of a nation. So during a famine, not let's forget that, people were still being fed. People were still moving on and on and on. Life was still going. And this is where God wants us to be with him.
This is so why it's so important that your yes should be yes and your no should be no. And anything other than that is not of God. Anything other than that, all the extra stuff that's being added into that, that's not of God. Your answer based on your actions should be able to say yes and no. And if the person asks you, okay, well, expound, then you expound. Then you expound on whatever the circumstance of the situation is. So just know that everything that we do is unto God. So we want to give him the best. We want to give him the best. And I want to say, I just want to ditto something that Apostle Temple said yesterday. He said the best is yet to come. And I truly believe that. And the reason I truly believe that, because I know I work so hard and diligently to prove to God that I am who he say that I am. God has told me that I'm wonderful. God has let me know that I'm blessed. God has given me beauty for ashes. God has given me time after time to prove myself and to develop my relationship with him. And because I'm developing relationships with him, I'm developing relationships with others. And that's the most beautiful thing to know, that God can trust you. And you may not be able to be trusted in all areas, but the fact of it is that he trusts you and he allows you to do your work because he knows it's unto him. So I just want to leave you all with knowing that God truly loves us and he gives us time after time to get things right. And he wants us to develop a relationship with him. He wants us to trust him as he wants to trust you as well. So it's about getting rid of the thinking. It's about making a sound, conscious decision, not just a decision because you're being forced to make that decision. Develop that. We have a relationship with God. We was told months ago how to develop that relationship. Just keep working on it. Just work on it. Go back to notes. Go back to God if that's the case. Holy Spirit, show me, lead me. I might have been, you know, in a chaotic state at that time. I may have not been in my right mind to make a sound decision. I still had unveiled all of those things that I was doing in secret and dark places. So now I'm at a place on today that I'm ready to move forward and my yes be yes and my no be no. And just know that we love you. We love you unconditionally as God do, because he tells us that we have to. And we just want you to build that relationship with God. ADM, do not forget, tonight we're on at 8 p.m. But everyone else, we love you. God loves you best. We will see you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. May the peace of the Lord follow you all throughout your day. Whatever circumstances or situations may come your way, decree and declare them to move out of your way. If you sit and you feel like you're at a place where you just can't make it, decree and declare that you have strength, that you have power. You have the power to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. May God bless you. Have a great day.